Turkey is calling for a special meeting of NATO ambassadors to discuss military operations against ISIS and against Kurdish separatists, the PKK. Turkey has been a reluctant ally in the campaign against IS, allowing the use of its military bases for coalition airstrikes, but refusing to join in the military strikes themselves. Last week's bombing, though, of a cultural centre by a man with suspected links to ISIS appears to have turned things around. On Friday, Turkey launched its own wave of airstrikes against ISIS in Syria, and in a move which could vastly complicate this fight, it also renewed its attacks against Kurdish militants in northern Iraq, ending a shaky two-year ceasefire with the PKK, that's the Kurdistan People's Party. In a parallel operation, anti-terror police arrested almost 600 people accused of supporting IS or the PKK. Kurds have played a key role in the battle against Islamic State, proving to be a far more effective fighting force than the Iraqi army. But Turkey has been anxious about the consequences of arming the Kurds against ISIS. Mark Pierini is a visiting scholar at Carnegie Europe, where his research focuses on developments in the Middle East and Turkey. He was a former EU ambassador and head of delegation to Turkey. Mark Pierini, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Good morning.
The suicide bombing last week in Suruç appears to have been the catalyst for these strikes. Do you think Turkey was already at the point of considering this military action?
Yes, I think so. For about 4, 5, 6 weeks now, Turkey was in very close conversations with the US after President Obama made this public remark at the G7 meeting in June, basically saying that Turkey was not doing its share in the anti-ISIS coalition. In fact, what happened was that since the proclamation of the caliphate in June last year, Turkey sort of thought they would manage a relationship. If you remember, a year ago, they had several dozens of hostages to ISIL for more than 3 months, taken from their consulate in Mosul. And therefore, that was an obvious limitation at the beginning. But then they still refrained from entering fully in the coalition. And then several other things happened. And in particular, the best military successes against ISIL were those of the Syrian Kurds. The YPG is a military branch. And they managed to reunite two of the three Kurdish districts in Syria, which sort of sounded an alarm in Ankara. And that's one of the reasons for changing their position.
And that's the surprise about this military action, this Turkish military action over the last few days, is that they weren't just striking ISIS. They weren't just joining the coalition in the fight against ISIS. They deliberately targeted the PKK, which is the Iraqi Turkish, Kurdish front, as well, which is a traditional enemy of Turkey. So they've kind of split the goal here, haven't they? And this could be deeply disruptive within the coalition, I would have thought.
Yes, that is, in our eyes, let's say the Western world, there is no real relationship between fighting PKK terrorism or ISIS terrorism. These are two different propositions. But of course, seen from Turkey, they've been fighting PKK, the Turkish Kurdish military branch, based in northern Iraq, for decades now, and at the cost of many, many thousands of lives. And probably by equating the two threats, the two terrorist organizations, it made it easier to justify this, what is basically a U-turn on ISIS. So that's one of the reasons. The other reason,
but what does
of course,
it do? Sorry, Mark, but what does it do to the strategy within the coalition? Because the US has been arming the Kurds, because the Kurds have been an effective fighting force against ISIS, and now Turkey is targeting the Kurds.
Yeah. Well, the coalition of the US and European countries have been arming the Iraqi Kurds, and lately the US Air Force has been giving closer support to the Syrian Kurds. Mm. Now, Turkey is targeting its own Kurds, PKK, based in Iraq. That's a different thing. The reason why this development, that is Turkey bombing the PKK, is not welcome in the West is simply that, independently of fighting ISIS, a peace between the central government, Ankara, and its own Kurds is remaining an essential element of Turkey's future. And if you notice, for the past 24 or 48 hours, both the US, Western countries, the EU high representative have all called publicly and privately for Turkey to maintain the peace process with its own Kurds open. So that is a distinct danger in the current situation. But of course, you have to look at the domestic political scene. Amalgamating the two issues serves the purposes of the current government and president in Turkey.
Let's talk a little more about that, if we can. We're speaking with Mark Perini, sure, who's a visiting scholar at Carnegie Europe and a former EU ambassador to Turkey, because the ceasefire is now under threat, you'd have to say. In fact, the PKK says it considers the ceasefire to be dead. But what's the domestic imperative here? Because the government, governing AK party, lost its parliamentary majority in June elections. They're struggling to maintain or form a coalition government. Is that what's driving this change?
Well, it is an element of the current strategy, because on June 7, as you said, they lost their ability to form a single-party government. That's new. That's new after 12 and a half years of AKP rule. And the main winner of that election was HDP, the parliamentary branch of the Turkish Kurds. And that's completely new. The Kurds were previously in parliament, but they were there as independent candidates, and then they formed a group when in parliament. This time, for the first time, the Turkish Kurds run as a party, HDP, and they, if you want, stole quite a good deal of the Kurdish vote from the AKP. So if the AKP wants to regain its single-party majority, they want to target basically the Kurdish voters. They
right.
want to recoup these losses. And therefore, saying that PKK are terrorists and HDP has not denounced fully the PKK is, of course, a tactical move.
Well, we're going to see how this plays out domestically, but perhaps more importantly, how those NATO countries help manage this. Mark Pierini, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Mark Pierini is a visiting scholar at Carnegie Europe, where his research focuses on developments in the Middle East and Turkey, and those are the developments we've been discussing here. He is a former EU ambassador and head of delegation to Turkey.